Breaking news at 6, actress Anne Heche seriously injured after crashing her car.
This was a very serious and fiery crash here in Mar Vista.
The car had careened into the house, gone through the entire length of the house.
Police here in L.A. say they will be testing actress Anne Heche to see if she was under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Exactly 1 week after she crashed her car into a house, actress Anne Heche has died.
Shortly after 10 a.m. on August 5th, 2022, Anne Heche, the actress and model who enjoyed 3 decades of success in both movies and television, and whose stunning announcement of a romantic relationship with Ellen DeGeneres became one of the defining pop culture moments of the 1990s, drove her royal blue Mini Cooper 16 miles through Los Angeles from her house to a shop called Glass Hair Design in Venice Beach. Heche entered through the shop's rear door and sifted through a pile of wigs until she found a bright red one she liked. Heche appeared disheveled and was visibly exhausted, though the store owner would later tell police that she was cordial and did not appear to be acting strangely. The owner recognized Heche and asked for a selfie, and she happily obliged. Heche returned to her car and drove 2 miles east to the quiet bedroom community of Mar Vista. Doorbell video from the neighborhood captured Heche driving quickly through the residential streets before abruptly entering a parking lot of an apartment complex. Heche did not live at the complex, and as far as anyone knows, had no connection to it. But whatever her reason for being there, a few feet into the lot, she misjudged a turn and slammed the front of her car into the corner pillar of a garage. Residents rushed out to see what had happened and check on Heche. She said she was fine and backed up to leave despite demands from the residents to stay put. One person snapped a photo of Heche. A bottle of vodka is visible in the cup holder. Heche floored it, exiting the parking lot and turning down a narrow alley called Preston Way. Neighborhood cameras picked up Heche's car traveling at over 60 miles per hour down the small street. Preston Way is only 2 blocks long and ends at a T-intersection. There's a stop sign at the intersection, but Heche blew right through it. She maintained her speed, narrowly missing a woman walking her dog in a crosswalk, struck another car, and careened up and over a curb and across a lawn and through the front wall of a house. Heche apparently never took her foot off the accelerator, traveling 30 feet through 2 rooms of the house before she was finally stopped by the car's impact with a back exterior wall. According to the LA Fire Department, the crash caused, quote, structural compromise to the house, which erupted in heavy fire. The homeowner was in the backyard at the time of the accident, and neither she nor her 2 dogs were injured. Heche was pinned inside the car as the fire raged. A neighbor tried to rescue her, punching and kicking at the windows and pulling at the doors, but he couldn't get in before the fire forced him back. Firefighters arrived, 49 in all by the time it was all over. Some fought the blaze, while others broke through the roof of the car, eventually pulling Heche's limp body through the sunroof and down onto an awaiting gurney. Video shows Heche being wheeled toward an ambulance while covered in a white, sterile sheet. She remained conscious, and at one point quickly sat up and threw the sheet off her, flailing her arms at the firefighters in an effort to escape. She was restrained, placed into an ambulance, and rushed to a hospital, where she slipped into a coma. For days, she hung on to life, having suffered significant pulmonary injuries due to smoke inhalation, third-degree burns over much of her body, and a fractured sternum in the crash. But it was all too much for her body to endure, and on August 11, 2022, 6 days after the crash, she succumbed to her injuries. Anne Heche was 53 years old. I'm Jason Beckerman.
I'm Derek Kaufman.
This is Last Days, Anne Heche.
A few days after the accident, the LA County Medical Examiner's Office announced its preliminary findings based on a blood sample taken at the hospital that Heche was, quote, deemed to be under the influence, close quote, of both fentanyl and cocaine at the time of the accident. And though the medical examiner stated these findings were only preliminary, there was initially little doubt that they were true. Heche had a long history of substance abuse, which, coupled with her erratic behavior on the day of the accident, led to a seemingly inescapable conclusion that drugs and/or alcohol were to blame. Yet when the final autopsy and toxicology report were released 4 months after the accident, it disproved the initial findings. The medical examiner stated that, contrary to the earlier reports, there was, quote, no evidence of impairment by illicit substances at the time of the crash. He found that the fentanyl detected in Heche's system was actually administered by doctors after the accident to relieve her pain, and the initial detection of cocaine was in fact something called benzoylecanine, an inactive metabolite of cocaine that is indicative of past use, but which cannot cause impairment. In other words, Heche was entirely sober when the accident occurred. Her cause of death was smoke inhalation and thermal injuries, with the sternal fracture a, quote, significant contributing factor. But these findings left unexplained Heche's actions on the day she died. she inexplicably drove 16 miles across town to buy that red wig for an unknown purpose, bypassing scores of wig shops much closer to her home. She was described as cordial by the shop owner, who said he didn't notice anything out of the ordinary. And yet, after she left the shop, she drove at exceptional speeds through residential streets, endangering a number of people. She crashed into a garage in an apartment complex, nearly ran over a woman walking her dog, sideswiped a car, and finally, fatally, drove through a person's house. Hard to reconcile these actions with the conclusion that she was sober. Further, Hesh was, by all indications, doing quite well in her life at the time. All reports are that she was a devoted mother of two sons, aged 20 and 13, had multiple acting projects in the works, had just released her second memoir, was making plenty of money, and had a large circle of friends who described her as warm, caring, and kind. And yet, her actions that day were beyond reckless. It's a miracle no one else was killed. Now that it became clear she was not high on drugs at the time of the accident, the common belief became that Anne Hesh must have suffered a psychotic break that caused her to act in the way she did that day. Psychotic breaks occur when a person loses all touch with reality due to a decline in their mental well-being, most often as a sign of an underlying medical condition, a history of trauma, or drug abuse. Hesh checked all of these boxes.
Anne had frequently spoken candidly about her lifelong struggles with mental illness, which she said stemmed from significant childhood trauma. For years, Hesh said, she lived for long stretches in a fantasy world with a dual identity. Here's Hesh in a 2001 interview with Barbara Walters.
I had another personality. I had a fantasy world that I escaped to. I called my other personality Celestia. I called the other world that I created for myself the fourth dimension. I believed I was from that world. I believed I was from another planet. I think I was insane.
Hesh said in her 2001 biography that she was, as she put it, insane for the first 31 years of her life, and would later state that she'd been diagnosed with schizophrenia. In 1997, when she was 28 years old, Hesh began a high-profile romantic relationship with Ellen DeGeneres. Hesh said that she'd never been in a relationship with a woman before she met Ellen. She had, in fact, dated Lindsay Buckingham and Steve Martin when she was in her early 20s, and they, incidentally, were both well into their 40s. But with Ellen, she fell deeply in love. The relationship coincided with a great run of professional success for Hesh. After years of finding acting jobs only here and there, during the 2+ years of her relationship with Ellen, she acted in a series of big-budget movies, including Donnie Brasco, Volcano, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and then, in 1998, she landed her first lead role in a major motion picture, the romantic comedy 6 Days, 7 Nights, opposite Harrison Ford.
So there is no beacon that we're going to turn off, and they're going to come and fix it and find us.
I need you to be my confident captain. I can't tell you how difficult this is going to be for me if you lose it.
Anne Hesh was really, Jason, for one fleeting moment, the it girl of Hollywood. She was talented, gorgeous, and one half of a huge industry power couple, and the future was really looking bright when she was with Ellen for those number of years.
It's weird, as big as she was, and she was really big, and she was in all those big movies and a bunch more. She did a remake of Psycho and a bunch of others, not necessarily financially successful movies, but nevertheless, she was a huge prominent face all over billboards. The relationship with Ellen kind of clouded everything, and not in a bad way, that sounds pejorative. It overshadowed all of her successes in many ways, because it was the story of stories in a time before celebs were out.
Oh yeah, they were all over magazines. It was a very tabloidy time, yeah. And they were a lesbian couple in the 90s, so yeah. It wasn't the same context, but she was massive. She was omnipresent in a way due to that relationship with Ellen, and them both being blonde hair. They were just very photogenic, yeah. They were on red carpets, they were both rising to the primes of their career. And it's not an overstatement to say she was really hot in Hollywood. To get a movie with Harrison Ford like that was a big deal.
And by the way, she didn't get the roles because of the relationship with Ellen. She had all of these roles in production before she started dating Ellen. So it would be easy to say.
Right.
And frankly, she maybe for a moment became a bigger star than Ellen, because Ellen's television talk show hadn't really kicked into high gear yet. And so, you know, Ellen was famous. She had her own show. She came out in a very famous way on her TV show. And then she started dating Anne Hesh almost immediately thereafter. And a lot of people say, well, it's your affiliation with Ellen. Not the case. She had these roles beforehand.
That's absolutely right. But when the relationship with DeGeneres ended in August 2000, her career really did stall. Hesh first blamed a Hollywood establishment not ready to accept a bisexual star like her. Here's a rather frantic Hesh in a 2021 interview talking about this particular issue.
I was canceled. My podcast partner has always says I was patient zero. I was the first one out. However, that storybook opened up. Why did we care? It was gay or straight. What I was standing up for was the right to love who you want to love, period. Yes. And why gender would matter or not. I got kicked out of my own movie premiere because they didn't want to get pictures of me with a woman. Ugh. And now there are kids who stand up and be like, Ma, excuse me, if I pave that way, I'm happy to be yeah. a person who represents that truth to them.
But beyond the homophobia, Hesh laid the blame for her sinking career on Ellen herself, who she asserted spread rumors of Hesh's drug use and erratic behavior. Hesh herself accused Ellen of leaking concocted stories of manic episodes, going so far as to claim that Ellen tried to have Hesh institutionalized. And when that didn't work, Hesh said, Ellen used her significant industry power to blackball her. Ellen doesn't speak of the relationship at all publicly for the most part, and Hesh's claims haven't really been substantiated since then. But it's unquestionably true that her career went into a tailspin post-Ellen. It would be another 10 years before she'd be cast in another studio movie, and I do remember the downfall. What happened with Anne Hesh after 6 Days, Seven Nights, when she's sort of a Hollywood it girl, she's in a big budget movie, is everything started to seem very erratic. And when she would push against the narrative that she said Ellen was perpetuating, it only seemed more erratic
right.
because her responses also lended credibility almost to the claims that she was a little bit crazy or having some sort yeah. of mental illness episodes because she seemed so perturbed by it. And that, you know, sort of blossomed into a bigger
problem.
It was a
really nasty breakup. By all accounts, Hesh broke up with Ellen and Hesh started dating a guy right away who she ends up actually marrying. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it was a very nasty breakup. Ellen was, by all accounts, very hurt by the way the relationship ended. And Hesh said that as a result of that, Ellen came after her hard, leaking the stories that she was suffering from mental delusions and also that she blackballed her. Again, Hesh didn't put up any corroborating evidence to support that, but it's hard to deny what happened to her career post-Ellen. And on the other hand, Ellen's career shot through the roof.
That's right. It was incredibly nasty. Part of it I remember at the time was that because Anne Hesh was bisexual, there were rumors that she was using Ellen yes. and that leveraging her fame through Ellen at the time, who was blowing up into this much bigger star. And it was unclear whether Anne Hesh was actually lesbian. Ellen is, yeah. of course, not bisexual. She's just a lesbian. So yeah. it was a very
it was.
Nasty.
Just one final point on this. Yeah. Ellen was everybody's sweetheart. Everybody loved her. How could she possibly perpetrate these kinds of bad things by leaking these stories? A lot's come out about Ellen where she doesn't seem like quite the nice person we all thought she was. I wonder if it's...
Added a different valence to understanding what happened with
that
split.
Right.
Because you're right. Ellen was able to stay out of the fray. She seemed very level-headed. She yeah. seemed to be the sort of calmer person. But now that you know all we know about Ellen and the messy breakup of her talk show, it does make you see the Anne Hesh breakup very differently.
It does. But it wasn't just Hesh's career that faltered in the wake of the breakup with Ellen. She began to act erratically in public, often appearing disheveled and distressed. In late 2000, Hesh was hospitalized after driving in the middle of the night to a stranger's house wearing only a bra. She frantically knocked on the door and when the people answered, begged them to use their shower because she said a spaceship was coming to take them all to heaven to meet God. Sort of sounds funny, but it wasn't. It was very serious. When authorities arrived, they described her as shaken and disoriented and she was rambling incoherently. During the hospitalization that ensued, Hesh says she was diagnosed with schizophrenia, a condition from which she says her father likewise suffered, and she made a commitment to take better care of herself. The following year, she married a cameraman she'd previously worked with named Coley LaFoon and began a 6-year relationship. In 2001, still suffering professionally from the breakup with Ellen and with words spreading about her frequent strange behavior, she published a biography called Call Me Crazy, in which she spoke for the first time about her truly unimaginable history of abuse. The stories she told brought her a measure of sympathy and also may offer some insight on the actions that ultimately led to her death. We'll return after this commercial break.
Welcome back. A quick note before we continue. The next portion of the podcast will include a detailed discussion of very sensitive topics, including child sexual abuse. Although this conversation is necessary to tell the story about the life and the last days of Anne Hesh, it also may be distressing to some people, so we did want to put this warning at the top of this discussion so anyone who has those sensitivities can deal with that accordingly. Anne Hesh grew up in poverty in Ohio and then New Jersey, the youngest of 5 children in a deeply religious family. They frequently moved to avoid creditors or to find places to live after they'd been evicted from their homes, Anne would later say that there were only two constants in her life while growing up, Jesus and the abuse she suffered at her father's hands. Hesh claimed in her 2001 memoir that her father repeatedly raped her from the time she was an infant until she was 12 years old. She said her father, who was an active member of the church and enforced a strict form of Christianity at home, would leave for long stretches looking for sex. Often he would return home in search of Anne. Here's how she described what she endured.
He raped me. He stuck his in my mouth. He fondled me. He put me on all fours and had sex with me.
When you were a toddler?
In my memory, yes.
Anne claims that as a toddler, her father gave her genital herpes, which he had contracted from many sexual dalliances with strangers. Equally as painful, Hesh would allege that her mother, Nancy, turned a blind eye to it all. She specifically accused Nancy of brushing off Anne's genital herpes, claiming the sores she would get from time to time were just rashes. Nancy, for her part, denied ever knowing about Anne's abuse at the hands of her father, and Anne's sisters have accused Anne of either fabricating or at least greatly exaggerating their mother's complicity with their father's conduct.
Anne left home after high school and moved to L.A., having been discovered by a talent scout while she was performing in a school play. She maintained a tenuous relationship with her mother for the next few years until Nancy cut Anne off when she started dating Ellen. She called the relationship, quote, a betrayal of an unspoken vow. We will never have anything to do with homosexuals. Nancy Hesh later gave lectures with Focus on the Family to confuse teens about how homosexuality is a condition that can be overcome. The two never reconciled, and Nancy never met Hesh's children. In 2009, Anne told the New York Times, quote, people wonder why I am so forthcoming with the truths that have happened to me in my life. And it's because the lies that I've been surrounded with and the denial that I was raised in. My mother preaches to this day the opposite of that core of my life. It is no mistake that she still stands up against love, and no one wonders why I'm not rushing to have her meet my children. Regardless of the specific details of Hesh's trauma, both in terms of her father's physical and her mother's emotional abuse, she would suffer the ramifications of it for the rest of her life. To cope with her trauma, she said, quote, I drank, I smoked, I did drugs, I had sex, I did anything I could to get the shame out of my life. During the mid-2000s, as her career continued to lag, Anne retreated into drugs and alcohol, habits she first developed after she left home as a teenager. Narcotics are, of course, common coping mechanisms for those struggling with mental illness, but they can also be a trigger linked to destructive psychotic events. And sure enough, in 2007, Hesh's husband, Coley LaFleune, filed for divorce, stating in court documents that Hesh, quote, exhibited bizarre and delusional behavior for which he refuses to seek professional help.
Jason, what we're left with when you hear these stories that Anne Hesh would tell about her life, she wrote lots of memoirs, she was very much an open book and sort of using the world as therapy in large part, it just all comes off as very desperately sad. And you can make sense of the end of her life in this way. I mean, there is some mystery as to why she drove erratically through the streets, but when it boils down that there weren't drugs in her system, what you're left with is this an act of malevolence? She was trying to mow down people? Of course not. That wasn't anything like Anne Hesh's life.
She loved her children desperately. She was in a good place in her life. She'd just written a second autobiography. She was publishing. She had plenty of money coming in. There were no outward signs and there were just, beyond that, just no outward signs of malevolence ever in her
life. Ever in her life. So what you're left with the conclusion is it wasn't drugs. She's not a malevolent person. It had to have been some sort of mental illness episode. And that lines up perfectly with what you're seeing through her life. She talked about being diagnosed with schizophrenia, and the last moments she had seemed to be ones that she wasn't in control of. When she was driving through those streets and driving through that home, she wasn't looking to kill anyone or harm anyone, and probably not even harm herself. She just wasn't in control of her faculties completely. And for the remainder of her life, Hesh seems to have enjoyed a period of personal and professional success, followed by dark times of drug dependency and mental health struggles. She began dating Canadian actor James Tupper shortly after her split from LaFleune, and the couple remained together for 11 years and had a son to whom Hesh was forever devoted. She also worked consistently during this period, starring in dozens of movies and television shows and working on stage. But Hesh's drug dependency and mental health struggles were never quiet for long. She would often do interviews, including promotional tours for her acting projects, appearing disheveled and frantic, unable to sit still, slurring her words and straying from topic to topic. Just by way of example, here's a quick clip of her Just the Two of Us podcast recorded a year or so before her death, in which she responds to her co-host's questions about the demise of her relationship with Ellen.
Fact of the matter is, if anybody chooses to look at the truth, the signs and the reasons of their arrival are apparent in every single thing. Listen, when you want to steal somebody else's language, the problem is you hit a wall, because the language is enough to drive you forth. Its purposing was enough to give her power. And the reality is, if you are not on a conscious conversation and communication with the universe and its truth, you hit a wall, because you can only get furthered if your intelligence and your heart meet. And unfortunately, that she did not greet. You don't get two cups of insanity in and get to take one cup out. You meet your maker.
Okay. Well, that was a riddle, I gotta say.
Well, God is a real. You're going to have to start getting used to me now, all bitch. Right. Watch out.
And Jason, this example that you just heard of the podcast is not a one-off. I watched dozens of these interviews she gave during the later part of her life, and there's a consistent erratic threat that just runs through all of them. She's quick-paced. She's rambling. These thoughts are unstructured, and they border on sort of incoherence. She's fidgety, easily agitated. These are the telltale signs of substance abuse and mental illness together. And since we know that she wasn't on substances at the time of her death, at least not during the speeding through the neighborhood, you're left with mental illness.
You really are. It's a lot happening. I mean, she talks about, and we'll talk about this in a second, but there was, you know, she continued to use alcohol. We know that. She talked about it in her podcast. And we obviously know from the coroner's report that she had used cocaine, not on the day of her death, but previously, because the metabolites of cocaine were still in her system. And so we know that she was abusing substances. And if you watch these videos, as we both have, it's hard to watch, especially knowing what happened. It's really hard to watch. She is a woman who is coming sort of untethered as you're watching her. And it gives a lot of context and perspective to what eventually happened. And the toll of it all, the childhood trauma, the drug use, the schizophrenia, caused Hesh immense suffering through her last days. She recorded the final episode of her The Two of Us podcast just a few days before she died. And it was clear she was in trouble. She said, quote, "Today's been a very unique day. I don't know what happened. Sometimes days just suck. And I don't know if you've ever had them, but some days, those no good, very bad days, and some days just end up like this." She went on, largely repeating herself, "Sometimes days just suck, and I don't know if you ever have them. But you know, some days, Mama says, just gonna be days like this. Some days, there's just no good, very bad days, and I don't know why some days just end up like this." After her death, Hesh's older son, Homer, wrote of the tremendous sadness at her loss and his hope that she had finally found peace. He concluded, "My brother Atlas and I lost our mom. After 6 days of almost unbelievable emotional swings, I am left with a deep, wordless sadness. Hopefully my mom is finally free of pain and beginning to explore what I like to imagine as her eternal freedom."